Hey, everybody. Welcome to Ask the Pastor. I am Matt Love. I'm here with Pastor J.D. Greer. And J.D., one of the biggest things about the video podcast so far is that it's exposing that you and I are constantly in different places. I feel like we have the least consistent backgrounds for all of these podcasts of all time. So I just feel like I'm living my life carrying a microphone around ready to go wherever and whenever is needed. So we'll work on that, YouTube audience.
Yeah, I'm more consistent than you, I feel like. I feel like I'm generally one of three places. You're like, where is Matt? I feel like that's almost a game. Where is Matt Love right now?
Maybe we pivot and I do the podcast from a different location every single time. Maybe that's what we do. Anyway, check us out on YouTube so you know what we're talking about. J.D.Greer. We'll talk about that again at the end. But J.D., we're in a series. We're just doing some one-off questions from listeners. And we've just had some really good ones so far that didn't fit neatly into kind of a particular series, but were really good questions. And J.D., here's one that is on everybody's mind and will be on our minds for the next 6 to 9 months, I don't know, however long it is. But what are your thoughts on the 2024 election? We get a rematch, you know, it's like a heavyweight bout. We get to go again, see what happens. So here we are 4 years later, same. It's Trump versus Biden. J.D., how do we as Christians process this election?
Yeah, I think a lot of us are kind of depressed on this and trying to think what in the world. I mean, let's be honest. 2020 did not go well in terms of election. Yeah. It didn't go well in how the church responded to it. You know, I think a lot of us look back and just say, man, it was a rough year for the church. And I think as Pastor Brian, one of our pastors here, Brian Lorette, says, it's almost like we're getting a mulligan. You know, we get to redo this and say, what's a gospel-centered response? Yeah, let me offer a handful of pieces of counsel to that end, but let me actually give a caveat before I share any of these. I'm going to give some very specific counsel that I feel very passionate about and I'd say relatively sure about, but it's even more specific than at least that I gave in 2020, but the conversation's changed, and I feel like as a pastor, there's a few things that I need to be clear about. The caveat is that some of our listeners are probably going to be tempted to try to interpret these thoughts as me urging you to vote one way or the other. You know, you can hear me say something and say, oh, well, what he means by that is we should definitely not vote for this person or that we definitely should vote for this other one. And I just want to say that is precisely what I'm not doing. You know, I continue to say this is not the realm that God has called me to lead in. I'm a pastor. And certainly what we believe, how we see the world, what the Bible teaches, it has implications for that. But I just realized that God hasn't called me to connect all the dots, you know, dot all the I's, cross all the T's for people. And so I'm going to teach biblical principles. I always say where the Bible draws a straight line between what the Bible teaches and a policy, then, you know, I'm going to connect that. I'm going to draw that straight line. And where there's a dotted line, where it's the application of wisdom, I'm going to refrain. And that's certainly going to be true here. So please avoid the temptation to hear one of these kind of pieces of perspective and say, well, by that, he definitely means this. You know, some of this counsel is actually going to pull in different directions. Politics is an imperfect process. We're almost, you know, never are we like, oh, this is everything that I want. It's kind of a, what is the best solution? We're trying to hold different things in tension, and we're trying to weigh out with our conscience what is overall the wisest or most moral or most helpful course for our country. So that's my one caveat. The second thing I'll say is just let me just assume that we are in agreement on things like the sanctity of life and the importance of marriage, the importance of gender. We may disagree on what the wisest or best approach is for taking care of the poor, for immigration, for education, strategies for ways to pursue greater equality, the best posture in foreign policy. That's where we may have disagreement, but I'm just going to assume that we agree on questions like, is abortion wrong? And you know, what are the genders and that type of thing? So let me just be really specific. I'm going to give some counsel to those who lean to the right, and then I'm going to give some to those who feel like, even with agreement on some of these issues that we talk about, they find themselves leaning left when it comes to, you know, some of the application of the best way to pursue these things. So my counsel to those that would, you know, lean Republican is I just want to say, don't equivocate about character. It's been a real temptation to just to say, hey, character doesn't matter. This is our Cyrus. He'll get things done. The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation and sin is a reproach to any people. And so we cannot whitewash. We cannot say this doesn't matter. It's just a, you know, utility. They're just doing a job. When you have the most important office in the land that everyone looks up to and is in so many ways, not just our representative of our country and the leader, but is a model for many of us. Character matters. And we've got to, I mean, of anything Christians should not need to be reminded of, it's this. Character matters, and we can't just say that it doesn't and turn our heads to it. We have to be clear that sin is a reproach. It is a curse. And when we have leaders that glorify sin and highlight it and turn it into entertainment, then that is a reproach to us. The second piece of counsel I would have to those that lean Republican is, you know, don't equate your secondary strategies with biblical imperatives. Go back to what I said at the beginning, there's straight line issues and there's dotted line issues. Straight line issues could be, you know, we're commanded to care for the poor and we're commanded to think about the least of these. There are dotted lines between that and what the best policy is for accomplishing that. And so that would be something to both right and left. Don't equate your secondary strategy with a biblical imperative. Here's my third piece of counsel to those that lean more to the right is I would just ask them to, you know, to consider what is your proactive solution to things like to helping the poor or to achieving greater equality and to help, you know, deal with some of the racial disparities and the historic things in our society? If you're somebody who feels like the Great Society, Lyndon Johnson's Great Society, has been an absolute failure, and you've got the stats to back that up, if you're somebody who says, you know, the greatest argument against progressive politics is progressive cities, just look at what progressive politics have done to those cities and look at the amount of poverty that it multiplies instead of dealing with. Great. If that's your perspective, what is your solution to that?
Yeah.
Christians on the right, if they're going to be critical of the strategies on the left, they ought to be talking about their own strategies.
Yeah.
Part of how you talk should demonstrate a compassion toward those who are less fortunate, who are in poverty, whether it's ethnic groups or different parts of the country. Your heart should go to those that are not prospering and say, what is the strategy for you seeing the poor increase? We can agree that God cares about the poor. We might disagree on the best strategy. So if you're on the right and you feel like what the left, you know, what you qualify as quasi-socialist strategies or full-on socialist strategies, then fine. Say that, but you got to put out your own agenda for dealing with these things. So that'd be my counsel to those on the right. To those on the left, my counsel, handful of things. Number one, there are several things in the Democratic Party platform, the Express platform, that are just expressly evil. And you have to speak out about them. If you end up leaning left in your politics because of economic or social reasons or global warming or foreign policy, like some of my British friends, by the way, who are very clear on biblical mandates, compared to many Americans, they would lean left on some of these, you know, the healthcare issues. If that's you, then still speak out very clearly about the things in the Democratic Party platform that are just evil. And I'm talking about some of the stuff about the gender confusion and about the pro-choice and just things that you can read through there and say, there's no way that as a Christian I can embrace that. If you're not inside speaking out about it, then it's not going to change. I mean, it is an absolute travesty that there are no longer any pro-life congressmen or women in the Democratic Party. Why wouldn't it be that there could be people who lean a little bit more toward the big government side when it comes to economics and that type of thing, who would still also hold that pro-life position? So that's my first piece of counsel. My second piece of counsel is be careful not to equivocate about things that really are not moral equals. And what I mean by that is that sometimes you'll hear people say, oh, yeah, well, yeah, we over here on the left, we get abortion wrong, but, you know, Republicans get poverty relief wrong, as if those things were equal morally.
Yeah.
Many Republicans, whether they're right or wrong in this, they sincerely believe that the economic policies that they're embracing and that their party embraces, that ultimately that's what's best for the most people. It's best to empower the poor. You know, they think that a limited government, free market, you know, more of a capitalist approach is what helps everybody. You might disagree with that, and they might be wrong. But abortion is the state-sanctioned murder of the unborn. We're not talking about moral equivalence there. It is wrong to equivocate and act like those things are morally the same and, well, they both got something wrong, and they're not the same. One is the state-sanctioned murder of the innocent, and the other is what you would think of as an ineffective or unwise approach to poverty relief.
Yeah.
There may indeed be reasons in certain elections that you think voting left or abstaining from voting is the wisest choice. If you do that, I'm not going to challenge you on this podcast about that, but just make certain that in doing that, you don't justify it through moral equivocation. There are some things that are just unqualifiedly evil. And when we're talking about questions of life, when we're talking about some of the agenda to tear down gender distinctions and to rebel against our Creator at that most fundamental level, those are deep moral tragedies with massive implications. Here's my third piece of counsel is realize that somebody really can share your compassion for the poor, but then disagree with your methodology. And again, that's similar to what we say to people on the right, but don't say that just because they don't agree with necessarily a big government approach or you know, different aspects of welfare that they must not care. They might care and just have a different strategy. And I think in this conversation, we want to give each other the benefit of the doubt. And then the last thing I would say to those who tend to lean left is be wise to the bigger discussions that are taking place about some of the thought or the worldview that undergirds some of these things. I'm talking about things like critical race theory, things that now go underneath the label the woke agenda. That many of these things are rooted in intersectionality and overtly Marxist or atheistic views of the world, and that these worldviews have been incredibly destructive. I'm not saying there's nothing redemptive in these discussions. There certainly is, or that it doesn't raise good questions, or that there's not even things that questions that have been raised by critical race theory and various insights that can be helpful in different times. But I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that you can't allow ideas and worldviews to come into the discussion and just be naive to those and not realize that an idea, once it takes root, can have massive implications. So don't just say that because a person is raising a question or proposing a solution you like, that you just uncautiously adopt all the terminology and the worldview behind that, because ultimately that's a short-term solution that leads to a much longer-term problem. I'm reminded here just saying that of the book When Helping Hurts. And what one of the guys he talks about, he says, a lot of our knee-jerk reaction to pursue equality and help the poor, sometimes the solution that we adopt may make a short-term impact, but ultimately, because the ideas behind it are untrue, it can have a long-term impact. And I'm just using that as an analogy. I'm not trying to Ficker is speaking into this, but just saying that the analogy there is that you've got to think about the worldview that's being brought in. And so don't be naive to that. Realize that things like critical race theory and intersectionality have a deep and very problematic worldview that is really, really destructive. My final piece of counsel as we go into this is really to everybody on this, every follower of Jesus. John 17 matters. It was one of the last things Jesus prayed before he gave his life, is he prayed for the unity of the church. I realize that there are things that are deeply emotional. There are things that are clear issues of justice, and we need to talk about them thoroughly and passionately, and we need to never compromise where the Bible teaches clearly. But also realize that the same Savior that gave us these commandments and the Savior that gave us these moral imperatives, He also prayed for the unity of the church and said that this is what he wanted. This is how the world would know him. The Apostle Paul, taking a cue from him, was willing to say about a lot of things that, I know Paul felt like my convictions are correct in this area, talking about eating meat, Romans 14, but he would not hold that position or push that position in ways that disrupted the unity of the church unnecessarily. So yes, I'm going to speak very clearly where the Bible speaks clearly, but one of the places it speaks clearly is God's love for the unity of his church. And so I'm going to allow people a kind of a space of grace where they can think through these issues and come up sometimes with different conclusions than I come up with, and say that the unity of the church and some of these things is more important than everybody aligning or conforming down to the letter to how I would approach something politically. So that'd be my counsel for everybody going into this season.
JD, we might not have time for this, but there's a person, in my head as you're talking in this next year. And it's like, this is representative of a lot of people, but I'm imagining a small group leader who's about to have to sit down week after week with a group of people. And it's just, the conversation is so divisive, so emotional. Like you're talking, I know there's just strong reactions to this conversation. And so these elements of are really helpful ways to process. Is there just a quick encouragement you would give that person who's trying to disciple and care for people and lead in a way in their church through a season and through conversations that are just emotional and challenging and fraught.
Yeah, I think in one of our previous podcasts, and I've certainly taught this at the church, is that, you know, there really is, you know, the old Scottish proverb, for every 1 mile of road, you get 2 miles of ditch. And one of the ditches you can fall into is the idea that politics is of ultimate importance. And that ultimately this is, you know, this is the future, not only of our nation, but of the church. We as believers, we understand that God just did not call us to invest our citizenship primarily in any nation state. We are citizens of another country. Now, we should be good citizens, which leads me to the second thing. And that is the other ditch is that politics are of no importance. As Abraham Kuyper used to say, good politics is a way of loving our neighbors. And so we recognize that as a church, we want to encourage people to, as an act of love for their neighbors, to be very involved in the political process. We also want to encourage them to pull back their statements that equate, you know, secondary questions of politics with biblical imperatives. Mm. Now, again, let me just say what I said at the beginning. We got to be clear where the Bible's clear. There's really not room for disagreement when it comes to the sanctity of life. There's not room for disagreement when it comes to questions about the genders that God created and the importance of that as a bedrock of society, marriage and family, our mandate to care for the poor, the equality and dignity of all people in the eyes of God. Those things we have to say clearly, and we can really brook no disagreement because they're issues of the Bible. But then there's secondary applications of the best way to pursue those, the best way to pursue poverty relief and care for the earth and all the different things that are there. And on that, we can say, I have an opinion. I'm very convinced on my opinion.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to equate my opinion with the Bible because at best, there's a dotted line between the Bible verse and this policy or this politician and not a straight line. There's a straight line between God's command not to kill and the murder of the unborn. There's a straight line. There's a straight line between you know, God's teaching on the dignity of all people as made in the image of God, that and overt racism and racist policies. That's clear. But then there's a lot of dotted line of what's the best way to achieve a more just and perfect union that we should allow a good bit of charity with. So have the discussion. We need to have the discussion, but have it with the right biblical values that will guide us to clarity, yes, but also clarity in the essentials and unity in the non-essentials.
Yep, that's really good. Well, I hope this has been helpful for all of you guys that are listening. And just know that a lot of people are praying for pastors and leaders and a lot of people that are going to navigate tough conversations. I know that that's one of the biggest things that's on my prayer list for this year, is just praying for everybody that's discipling and caring for people during the season, because it's going to be an adventure, but we're going to get through it, and we're going to trust God throughout the whole thing. And JD, this is really helpful framework for us. So if you enjoy this podcast, if this is helpful, if you like these questions, go ahead and subscribe. It's so easy. You hit the button and then it just comes to your phone. You don't have to think about it anymore. Like we've said a bunch of times, you can be watching this on YouTube. Just subscribe at j.d.greer. And next time, our next episode, we are going to be talking about cremation and whether a Christian can get cremated.
That's not a right or left turn. That just feels like it naturally progresses, Matt. We go right from politics.
The point of this series is that these don't fit together, right? So the point is that it's all left turns, right? So that's, you know, anyway, two lefts make a right, something like that. Anyway, we will see you next time on Ask the Pastor.